to. We're up to on page. Now we have one more machzor, one more round, then we go to a new sugya. Okay, well, let's learn the mincha gedola. Okay, let's go through on page 343. Mincha gedola begins on page 349. Okay, page 349. Let's jump right into it. By Yishlach, Kivein Leimar Ein Zonavur Rakesher B'Malchus. Okay, we have to hear the story once again. Amatzia, he approaches the king Yeravam, the Melech of Yisrael, and he complains that we have in our country a person that is making trouble. And the person's name is Amos. And what's the trouble? He is forming a conspiracy against you. And this that he claims that he has a nevuah, it's not true, it's not a nevuah. Ein zo nevuah rak sheker, but v'kesher v'malchus, zo kosher lecho, v'im lo yit hargeo, hamoyim am ho'oretz yahargu. And therefore he says, according to the Mincha Gedol, that you do not execute him, the people will execute him. The Zehu, I'm sorry, who will kill you, the king. If you, the king, do not take preemptive measures and execute Amos, then Amos will form a rebellion, a conspiracy, and he will have you be put to death. The Zehu lo suchal oretz machil, that's called the Vada, ve'ein leimar hu yisbarach amar elav. But people cannot tolerate his harsh words. What does this mean to say, according to the Mincha Gedola, that it's not a true nevuah? Don't be fooled by this person. He's not a real nav, he's a faker. Ki aloi kamar amos v'chav yomos v'yiravam, uvzani oimer shu kesher v'lenevuah, ki aloi yodua ki Hashem amar ki b'nei ribeim, Yehu Moilichin Meyehu. Okay, he's adding a whole new dimension to the argument. Why was Amatzia able to make the claim? How was he able to say that he is forming a rebellion? Because you have a promise from Yehu. Yehu was a Navi. Yehu was the one who gave legitimacy to the Malchus of Yisrael. Yeravam ben Nevat formed the Malchus. Now, the Malchus, this touches upon a very, very complex issue. The complex issue is, was the Malchus of Yisrael viewed as an act of rebellion, or was it legitimate? So the answer is, like everything else in Tanakh, it's both. It's both. Tzadech, on one hand, it was a pure act of rebellion. To take 10 Shvatim and to rebel against Rechavam, the son of Shlomo HaMelech, because the taxes are too high, this is insane. Just because Rechavam wants to go and tax the people, he is not receptive. He's not politically correct in the way he deals with his Malchus. That's not an excuse. It's not an excuse for you to go and rebel and to take 10 Shvatim and form a rebellion.
Did the Navi say that's the...
Okay, so that's exactly what I'm trying to point out. That this is this. We have to appreciate this point: is that the Malchus of Yisrael has two dimensions, and it's not a contradiction. It will appear on a very simple level that it's a contradiction. You can't be legitimate and at the same time be viewed as a rebellion. But that's exactly the point. It is. That's the depth and beauty of Kala Tara Kula. There are many different ways to look at the same thing. On the one hand, the Malchus of Yisrael was an act of rebellion. Yeravam ben Nevat took 10 Shvatim with him. They rebelled against Rechavam. Why? Because taxes. Rechavam was asking for too much money. But Mitzad Sheni, Chazal say that he was legitimate. He was legitimate because Yeravam ben Nevat he criticized Shlomo HaMelech for taking possession of public property. There was a milo. Milo means there was a town square that was used by the public. And one day, Shlomo HaMelech said, "Eminent domain, I want to take this park and I want to build my palace on this park." What right did Shlomo HaMelech have to go take public property and use it to build for himself a palace? Shlomo HaMelech abused his power.
Eminent domain is for public use, not for private.
Why? Eminent domain is whoever's the boss makes the claims. Whatever it is. Whatever.
This country, eminent domain.
Yeah,
because the country. Because in this country, it's
the king.
But the king, in this country, they want to go build the second avenue subway.
The king is the tyrant, that's all.
Right. So, this country, they want to go
autocratic.
They want to go build the Second Avenue subway system. So too bad. Whoever's living along the Second Avenue, too bad for you. Goodbye. Good luck. But there, the Shlomo HaMelech was the boss. If I want to go use this piece of property for my palace, too bad for you. And this was considered in halacha an abuse of his power. Number two. Well, this one of the main things is that he married the daughter of Paro. He took for himself too many wives. He violated the Torah's command that a melech may not have more than 18 wives. He took for himself too many wives, and the wives that he took, they influenced him to worship idols. So this was considered to be also an abuse of his power. He was not acting in the way that the Torah gives legitimacy, that requires a king to behave. Therefore, along came a Navi, whose name was the Yehu, and Yehu recruited Yeravam ben Nevat to rebel and to do what he did, to take the Ten Shvatim with him and to form a new Malchus. So we see here something extremely complex, and this really is something more topic to learn, and learn in Sefer Melachim, is that the Malchus of the Aseres HaShvatim Mitzad Echad, on the one hand, was considered an act of treason, the ultimate act of rebellion against the Malchus of David HaMelech, a rejection. We don't want to ein lanu chelek b'David. But on the other hand, the act of the Malchus of Yisrael was a necessary requirement because Shlomo HaMelech abused his power. And he was not behaving correctly, and he lost his Malchus. Just like Shaul lost the Malchus because he did not follow the orders of the Navi Shmuel, who told him with Agag, Amalek, and the other event, he told him that he should have patience, he should wait, he should not feel the pressure of the people. As here as well, Shlomo HaMelech abused his power. He did averos that are not befitting of a king, and therefore the Navi Yehu said, guess what? You're out of the game. You're out, and you will no longer be Melech. Now, in that prophecy that Yehu gave over to Yeravam ben Nevat, he told him, there will be four generations from you that will serve as kings. Now, this is not so simple, this idea, but some of us really learned there's only one generation, but he said there will be four generations of kings. Therefore, Yeravam was the fourth generation. Let's see how he reads it inside. Back in the Mincha Gedolah, on page 349, he says over here to him, let's start again from the middle of this paragraph. He says, Ki halo koi amar omois bacherev yamus Yeravam. Omois said that Yeravam will die. Uvezani oimer. Amatzia argues before Yeravam. Shu kesher veloy nevuah. This is an indication that his words are not from Hashem. He's fabricating these words. Ki halo yodua, it is well known. Ki Hashem omar ki b'nei ribeim yihiyu molchem miyehu. There will be four generations that will rule from the time of Yehu. Yehu was the Navi, and from that time there will be four generations. The Yeravam adayin hu hashlishi. He's only the third generation. Uvinoy Asalimlech Tachtov, and his son Zechariah is meant to serve in this place next. The Eich Yom Zeata, if he will now die, then his Malchus will come to an end. And therefore it cannot possibly be that he is a true Navi. Now the Mincha Gedolah points out that this was a lie. What was a lie? Because the Yuk was in a Hanani. Almost never ever said that Yeravam would be killed and his Malchus will come to an end. Amatzia, he made up a lie, and based upon his lie, he says, it goes to show that Amos is a charlatan. That's how far the conspiracy goes, the lies go. Fake news, not just fake news. This fake news, and then there's the commentary on the fake news, which results in a whole political agenda. See, we think simply fake news is, oh, this is fake news, that's it. No, there's fake news, and therefore, because the news is fake, we have to now understand, we have a whole editorial of what that means. And because it means A, B, and C, therefore we have a requirement to take action and do the next step, and do the next step. Okay, so you're building a whole plan based upon a foundation that is completely sheker. In the next page, I'll rise of Albeis Yeravam. It does not, he never ever said that Yeravam will come to death, will die. And if he'll die, then it will basically mean, if he'll be killed, it will mean that the Malchus will right away come to an end, it will go to a different family, and Yehu promised there will be four generations from this family. Shehu al-Benoi, all Omai said is that on the base Yeravam will come, which refers to his son. It refers to his son Zechariah. Zechariah, the son of Yeravam, 6 months into his malchus, he was killed. Uvino Nerag Becherev, Uvinoi, base Yeravam who? And therefore, all Omai said was the base Yeravam, which does not refer to Yeravam himself, but refers to his son. V'zehu al mash amar kosher lecha omais, he reports fake news, and now his editorial is, based upon what I've told you, he's not a real Navi, he is a shakran, he's forming a conspiracy. V'ala shalo yisuchal aretz lehachil perushu kial ki amar v'yishol gol yigle, he said that the people can no longer tolerate this madman. Why not? Because he's predicting that the entire Jewish people, they're going to go into exile. The Gamze lo kein diber, that's also another lie. Okay, 351, page 351. It's also a lie. V'nei amu razal, sheheshev yiravam mo'ese in mashchina amrala. This we learned yesterday in the Chidah. And we learned in Chazal, is that Yeravam is goes down on record as a very big tzaddik. Because he learned Sefer Chofetz Chaim, Sefer Shmir Saloshen. He was not Mikabel Lashon Hara. He says this cannot be. Either I don't believe in it, if it's taka true, then so be it, because he is a true Navi, he is a tzaddik, and if he, whatever he says, the Shechina midaberes mitoich geroin, the Yoz geroiz ki loy neso atzasai. Now we're just following through the story. When he saw Amatzia, that the king is not willing to be give him an ear, to be receptive to his advice, halachla, and he did not get permission to execute Amos. So on his own, he went and he tried to terrorize Amos by scaring him and telling him, "You better get out of this country." Halach lahafchidai lahavichai v'amar amatzil Amos. He said to him, "Choseh." He said to him, "You, the seer, kolaymar, moide ani ki choseata." Okay, here over here, he's coming over here to give us a whole new insight into this pasuk, not like anything we've learned until now. According to him, he's telling us, "I have choseh. I acknowledge that you indeed are the real deal." And that's why he calls him Chayzeh. V'loy boydeh v'libcha. V'yim kol zeh, nevertheless, berach l'chol eretz Yehuda. V'sarviach laguf l'nefesh, you'll save your guf and your nefesh, laguf ki yitoich Hashem lechem. There you'll eat food. She'yazunu ayishchid olfid you. V'la nefesh, k'shki v'sham t'inavei. There you'll be able to give a prophecy. Kisham over there, Hachanig del Yosel Yinavik, there they have Hachanig del Yosel Yinavik, Kisham Makam Beis Hamikdash, Asher Sham Hoelukim, there you'll find a receptive audience, Vizel Sham Tinavi, Vigad Ach Beiskel, Ata Mistakein, Ki in Tinavi Sham. If you remain here in Beisel, you're putting your life in jeopardy, the people are going to kill you. Lechain Lo Yisaisiv Oli Navi Sham, Ki Migdash Melechu, Sham Makam Yuchul Melechu Lizbech Lispalol Sham, here in Beisel, it's a place where we worship idols. That's the way it is. And don't try to change the system. If you try to change the system, we're going to kill you. You are angering the people. So here the Minchah Gedol is telling us that when it says here in the Pasuk, Beis Mamlochahu, not like any of the commentators that we've seen until this point. All of the commentators translate the words Beis Mamlochahu refers to Beis El. Beis El is the center of the king. And that statement was extremely problematic, because all of the commentators said it cannot possibly be. Shoimroin was the capital of the Aseres HaShvatim. How then can the Pasuk say that Base El is the base Mamlochahu. And what was the answer? It means that everyone has a second home. They have a summer home. They have a Hanukkah home. They have a place where they go for Rosh Hashanah. This is a special place, even though you're right, it's not Mamish, the capital, but it's a place where the king, the aristocracy hangs out, because this is where they worship the god. That's what we learned until now. Along comes the Mincha Gedoyla, and he says that's not the Pshat, because the question is too good of a question. The real base Malchus is Shoimroin. What then does mean that it's called the base Mamlocha? Who? It means the family. The family is Muchzak. There's nothing going to happen to this family. The Malchus of this family of Yeravam is going to be established for at least another generation. So you now coming along and saying nasty things that the family is going to suffer, no one's receptive to what you're saying is because we have a prophecy from someone way before you, from Yehu Hanimshi. Yehu said that this family will last for four generations. And therefore, if you're going saying now that you're all going to die, you're going to Golis, we don't trust you. We believe better in the previous prophet who said that he's going to be around. That's what it means here. Beis Mamlocha, who the subject of these words, according to the Mincha Gedoyla, is not the city, but is the family. The family of Yeravam, they're the third generation, Kishish Lehu, Binasa Beis Mamlocha. They have established a Malchus L'chein HaMach Isoi. If you anger the king by giving over words, nasty words of prophecy, Yesham Be'enov, B'yoyser V'yistakein, people are not going to take the sitting down, they're going to warn you, you're putting yourself in Sakana. Period. O Yoimar, another interpretation, Ki Be'eretz Yehuda Lo Yiro Me'asher Yinovi Ro'a Al Yisrael Ki E'enev B'malchusoi. Because there, that's not the place of the king, it's a different country. The Malchus of Yehuda was considered to be a different country. B'chein b'shlilas yira yuchal hisboideit l'nevuah b'simcha. There, in Yehuda, you can be in a state of joy, because no one's going to bother you. Ach beis eloi sesel dinavi ki midash melechu beis mamlocha v'yelucha kan le'ragos v'yitzavoyin v'leituchah tochol olecha nevuah ki ein nevuah shoreh elim d'ach simcha. Incredible chiddush, what he writes here. It's incredible. He says, it's impossible, you're not going to succeed here, because one of the conditions for a Navi to give over prophecy is he has to be in a state, a mental state of joy. And if people are trying to assassinate you, they're trying to torment you, they're trying to kill you and harass you, you're not going to be in a frame of mind where the Shekhinah will rest upon you. So be pragmatic. It's just not going to work. It's your if you are a Navi and that's what you do, and according to the Mincha Gedoyla, he's the only one that said this as well, is that when he said with Choyzeh, he's not coming to make Leitzonos, he's coming to say, I acknowledge you the real deal. And let's work, let's argue, let's debate the issue in that framework that you indeed are a real true prophet. Let me tell you, get out of here. Get out of this country, because here, even though you're a real prophet, but we have a tradition that this family is going to be around for at least another generation. So your prophecy, you're off. You may be a real prophet, but there's something wrong with what you're saying. And people are not going to accept what you're saying. And they're going to harass you. And if they're going to harass you, you're not going to be in a state of simcha. And if you're not in a state of simcha, then the shul is not going to rest upon you. And therefore, it's just not going to work. So go to a place where you'll be happy.
He wasn't the only Navi that they were unhappy with. Plenty of them were.
Excellent question. Right. This Mincha Gedoyl is opening up a can of worms.
Exactly right.
How do you explain Yirmiyah? How do you explain right. Yirmiyah was, well, they wanted to assassinate him. They tried.
What is Bitoch Simcha?
Oh, so now you want to go deeply into what is Simcha? We think Simcha means you smile. Like,
it's
smile
self,
from ear to ear.
Peace with yourself. You know what you're doing is right.
So now you're giving a whole new interpretation
right.
of what it means Simcha. Simcha doesn't mean that you're jolly and good, you're smiling and life is wonderful, and you don't have a care or concern in this world. It means you have self-fulfillment in your life. You may be miserable. A person can be in solitary confinement in a dirty dungeon somewhere.
Also not a prison make the right bars of kids.
But he has a certain sense of fulfillment, a certain sense of mission. Mission. That is the true meaning of Simcha. So what exactly is Simcha? There are different types of the Simcha Shel Hoilulus. And then there's a Simcha that's rooted in Yerushalayim, Yitzchak. Yitzchak's name is called Simcha. Yitzchak, he will laugh. Yitzchak means Simcha. And yet Yitzchak was, we know that Yitzchak was Pachar, Pachar, Yaakovin, he swore by the Pachar of his father. When you learn Chazri Chazal, you get the impression that Yitzchak, he was a gloom and doom. He lived a life where every second he was afraid of he lived a life of fear of Hashem. And yet Chazal said he was the happiest person in the world. How could you be the happiest person? The whole name, the name the Yitzchak defines your happiness, and yet he was from all of the others. He's the one that has the greatest sense of pachat. So the answer is, well, we don't know what simcha really is. Simcha doesn't mean you're jolly. Simcha means you have satisfaction. So why then did the Mincha Gedolah not say that? Why didn't the Mincha Gedolah say that you'll succeed in giving prophecy over here in the Malchus of Yisrael because you do have Simcha, no different than Yirmiyah, no different than Yeshaya, and all of the other Nevi'im that were persecuted? So obviously, it must be that there are different levels, there are still disturbances. According to the Mincha Gedolah, he holds that a person may be satisfied, but if people don't let you do your job, it's going to take away from the Simcha. Okay, obviously there are different levels of simcha. It's a very, very fascinating.
You're not enough. You don't understand what the other person's mindset is.
He doesn't know what that means.
He's saying that it's not a kash because
he
doesn't.
The words, the traditional words.
Uh-huh. He doesn't really understand what true simcha is, how it works. Very good. Okay, very good. Okay, so that is. So over here, the Minhag does provide a very unique perspective of understanding what is going on over here. He translates the words very different than a lot of the other farshim. He translates, he says, he introduces this principle of Yehu. No one on the page has introduced a principle, that argument, that we have faith that Yeravam will be around because there was a Navi that came before you, and that Navi everyone loves. I guess he didn't predict such gloom and doom, that Navi. Or that Navi, you know, Acharei Mois Kedoshim. After the person dies, all of a sudden no one's not giving you Musar, so now they become, you love the person. Yeah, when you were alive, you weren't so happy with him.
He's picking and choosing.
Right. He's picking and choosing his own agenda, whatever works for him.
Which Nebuos work, right?
Like you shop around for a Psak Halacha,
yes.
You shop around for a Navi.
One Navi says the market's going up, the other one says the market's
So the one that says, that was the big Sheker. That was the big problem. Who do you believe? Which Navi? Exactly.
So what I wanted to suggest, perhaps, is that's why when God says to you, a couple of Beatos Shemami, you know, tell me what you see, when he says that to him, that maybe almost he's beginning to doubt a little bit himself, beginning to wonder himself, and that's
maybe
why God
right.
is actually saying to him, so tell me what you see. And I'll let you know if your Navua is misguided or not. I mean,
he's mechazik, and then
you're on the mark.
Don't be sidetracked from people who are telling you otherwise. Okay, next pasuk. Yudal and Yudzayin, again on page 351. Yudal and Yudzayin in the Mincha Gedolah. Vayan al Mois Yomer Hinei Kirosani Choizev LeNavi. You're calling me. I'm a choize. Very interesting point. When Amatzi criticized Amos, he says, Choyze. Amos, when he answers, he says, All of a sudden, he's using different terminology. Why is he changing vocabulary? We know there are 10 different terms to define a prophet. And one is a Choyze. One is a Choyze. So he points out, Hine kirasani Choyze v'loy Navi. Ki geder Navi hu gadol mi Choyze. So he says, a Navi is greater than a Choyze. Among the list of items, okay, that the medrash, the alkein therefore heishav yamar gam ani moide ki loy navi onochi loy ben navi onochi. So this over here is an amazing insight. Everyone until now struggled. What does it mean? He says, I'm not a navi. You are a navi. You're from the treyasar. So he says, well, you are matzia. You called me a choize, and you did not call me a navi. Why? Because a Navi, Enoch and Ami, there are 10 levels of prophecy, and the word Navi is a higher level than the word Choze.
Yeah, but the first time the word Choze is used is regarding Shmuel HaNavi.
But the different levels, they're different tekufos in his life. Shmuel at one point in time was a Choze, another point in his life he was a Navi. I mean, even you have even David HaMelech. David wasn't a Navi. David, he wrote Tehillim, and Tehillim is part of Kisuvim, which means in Kisuvim we assume that Kisuvim is written with Ruach HaKodesh and not with Nevuah. So you see, even different individuals, different tekufos of their life, or different events, or different things, they had different degrees of revelation. But here he's making this point. Here Amatzia is calling him a choyze, and almost picks up on that. And he says, you called me a choyze, and did not call me a navi. And he says, ki gedel navi hu gadol mechoyze, v'alkein heshev v'gav amar gam ani moide ki loy navi anochi v'loy v'navi anochi yashev v'yashev amarta. This that you said ki b'Yehuda, oicha lechem eni tzach muzlas. I agree with you. I'm only a choyze, I'm not a navi. I'm not getting carried away with myself. And this that you're telling me that I want to make money, I'm on the next page, on page 353. I won't eat bread, I'm not doing this for the money. Ki voiker anoichi, I am independently wealthy. V'yesh li rav, v'chein yireh merazal, shol yosher, he was a wealthy person. That's the beginning of the first pasuk in Sefer Amos. He says, I'm ba nekudim. I work amongst the cattle, the nekudim. The nekudim is a code word that was created by Yaakov Avinu. When Yaakov said to Lavan, you keep all of the animals that are not spot and speckled, and I'll keep as my wages all grade B, all of the animals that are spotted and speckled. And the word is nekod vitalu. Nekod vitalu. Spotted and speckled, and the beginning of Sefer Amos. What was the very, very first pasuk? We learned this yesterday. Divrei Amos Asher Haya Va No Kedim. The very first pasuk of this Sefer Amos was amongst the Noikdim. The word Nokoid Vitalu, which means this is the first pasuk. He was a wealthy person. He had assets. Which what assets? Cattle.
But it is funny that the Mishnah
Gedolah
would use the term
Yeshli
Rav.
Oh, Esav's term. Yeshli Rav did not say Yeshli Koil.
Right.
Yaakov said Yeshli Koil. Esav said Yeshli Rav. The word Koil means even if you have a penny.
Everything I need.
Even one penny. You have a Muna, I got it all. Esav could have $1 trillion. Rav, I have a lot. But there's still more. And everyone knows the joke is Yeshli Rav. I also have a rabbi.
Right.
Esav says, I also have a Rav.
Right.
I also have a rabbi.
And that's what the joke is on the Aseret Dibros before it says it. Yet, you know,
the rabbi, he takes the hit. There's a very good, in the Mizmah, I think Yoshev is Sech Elyon, it starts out, anyway, one of them is Marim. It starts out, Hanechpozim, the three stages of the rabbi's life. Hanechpozim, Hanechmodim, Mipoz. Hanechmodim, Mipoz Rav. Mipoz Rav, which means that Torah is more precious than the most an abundance of the most exquisite gold. Poz means gold. And Rav means an abundance. So rabbis, so the drush, the rabbi's career starts out, the balabatim, they love him. Honeymoon. Hanechpadim. Mipaz. Rav. You read it backwards. The rabbi is more delicious, is more precious than the most exquisite metal, gold that exists in the world. And then it says, Bishamram, later in that Mizmar, Bishamram, Ekev Rav. The Balabatim begin to watch the footsteps of the rabbi. They guard his footsteps. In other words, they're beginning to talk among themselves. And then the end of the rabbi is Vinikesi Mipesha Rav. And the Balabatim say, it's time that we should clean our hands from him. From the Pesha, from the sins of the rabbi. Hanechpadim Mipaz Rav. Bishamram Ekev Rav and Vinikesi Mipesha Rav. The three stages of the Rabbanus. I told this to Rabbi Reisman. Rabbi Reisman, I told this to many years ago, and he was laughing so hard. I remember where I told it to him, on the staircase. I mean, he almost fell down the stairs. He was laughing so hard when I posed him. My father loved this vart. Okay, any rabbi really, really appreciates that vart. Okay, let's go further. Now, so he says over again on page 353, I have assets. Now here he continues in the steam. You told me, now he's really beautiful, according to Michal Gedolah, the words really fit very well. What did you say to me? You said to me that here in Eretz Yisrael, in the Malchus of Yisrael, I will not achieve a state of joy, and therefore I will not succeed in giving over prophecy, because a Navi needs to be besimcha. Guess what? You're making a big mistake. Hashem did not take me from behind the bokar. Now he's coming with the differentiation between tsoin and bokar. Tsoin are the little guys. The bokar are the big guys. Okay? Meaning, ki aroya bokar tzach koyach. Veshtadlus yoiser, a person who shepherds bokar, cattle. These are wild creatures. Okay, a bull. How dangerous it is to go deal with these big, large animals. You need to know. You need to be on guard every single second. Your life is in danger when you're working with large animals, bulls, rams. These are very dangerous animals. Veshtadlus yoiser, and you have to really put in a lot of effort to take care of these creatures and make sure you don't get killed. You don't have time. If you're a Roye Tzoyin, Chazal tell us that all of the Avos, they were all Roye Tzoyin. It's an incredible thing over here. What we're learning over here, the Chilik in Roye Bok, where do you get such a thing over here? To learn the difference between Roye Tzoyin and Roye Bokar. Okay, what did Yaakov mean? What did Yosef tell Paro? That my brothers are Roye Tzoyin. He didn't say that they're Roye Bokar. Okay, what did Chazal tell us about Yaakov Avinu? All of the leaders, David, Moshe, Yaakov. Roye Tzoyin, but there are many interpretations. But he says Roye Tzoyin. What does it say about Yaakov and David? It says they were Roye Tzoyin. Doesn't say they were Roye Bokar. Why not? Once you're in the business, what difference? You know, if you sell used cars.
Because
therefore what? When you're Roye Tzoyin, you have time to think about Hashem.
Right.
It's easy work. You have time with his boy date.
But it's more than that. It's considered on the job training for future leaders, because you have to watch where each one goes. If one wanders off, you have to.
That's one interpretation. Yeah. That you learn how to care. You learn how to take care of a creature. All of the midas of a human being can be found in the sheep. But over here, the Mincha Gedoyel is coming to add a new dimension into the significance of being a Roye Tzoyin. A Roye Bokar, you also have to learn how to care about other creatures.
Yeah,
and in fact, you're even more busy. You're much busier. You don't have a second to yourself. There's not a dull moment when you're dealing with Bokar. But when you're dealing with Tzoyin, you care about them, but you have time for yourself to do what? To think. Lehis boydeit. You're out in the field. You're out in the pasture. There are no distractions. There's no Wi-Fi, no satellites, no phones. You have time. Lehis boydeit. A breslov of a chassid. He writes over here, ki haroye bokar tzach koyach v'shtalus yoyser lo yuchal lehis boydeit. You don't have an opportunity of his boydidus, isolation, to be a breslov of a chassid, to go out into the field and talk to yourself, and what is life all about? Why? L'sboydin loch l'olav ruach ha'nevuah ki roye tzoyin ha'holchem li'itam. A roye tzoyin ha'holchem li'itam. They I don't know what itam means. Itam means, I guess, I'm assuming it means they just travel. They travel, li'itam, they travel, you know, they have time for themselves. V'yashar amar tekipo ira me'amelech u'me'am eni yerei ki sheluchei d'rachman ani. I'm not worried about being killed because I'm doing the mission of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Which word did you say?
Itam. Li'itam. Slowly? Slowly. Very good. Slowly. La'at, la'at.
At their slow pace.
And therefore, when you are Roye Tsoin, we have an advantage. You have time to think. To think about what? To think about Hashem. His Boididus. A technique. Ancient technique. To go out into isolation, into the forest where no one is there, and you can talk to Hashem, you can talk to yourself, you're able to think about your purpose in this world. You only have that opportunity when you're Roye Tsoin, not when you are a Roye Bokar. And now we understand that we have a greater appreciation of all the different great people. They were all called Roye Tsoin, they were not Roye Bokar. Now, then as far as the other argument, that you're telling me over here. So he says, what do you say? What do you go back? What did Amos say? Amos says, I was a Roy Bokor, not a Roy Yitzoyin. Okay, so they ask you on the Chidun HaTanach. Good question to ask you. Who was a Roy Yitzoyin? Who was a Roy Bokor? And explain me the difference. So David and Yaakov, and who else do we say? David, Yaakov, and Moshe. They were Roy what?
The term Roy is never used with Bokor.
It is. He's saying it is.
Well, but you don't see it in the Chumash used that way.
We have to. Well, he's saying over here. Ki voy kero noichi.
Bokor pretty much take care of themselves.
No, he's saying not. He says kum faker. He says there's no. He says look what he writes over. Ki imache. Ki haroye. Look. Ki haroye bokor. Tzoch koyach. V'shtadlus yoiser. Lo yuchal lehisvoyde. There's no free moment. He's saying, even though it does not say the word roye, it says ki voiker onoichi. He's coming into this, and you're telling me that I'm not a navi. If I was a navi, to be a navi, it's a good job to be a roye tsoin. Then you have an opportunity to prepare for nevuah. But if you're a boiker, you're a roye boiker, meaning that if you're a roye bokar, you don't have an opportunity to prepare for prophecy. So therefore, don't go make a claim and say, oh, you're looking for the money, you're in for the business. I have no interest in being a Navi. Number one, I don't do it for the money, I'm independently wealthy. Number two, I'm a Roye Bokar, and a Roye Bokar has no time for this. I don't have a free moment during the day to delve into the mysteries of Hashem and Nevuah. I don't have the opportunity. Why then am I a Navi? I don't know. Because Hashem forced me. For some reason, He plucked me out of the earth and He told me to do it. So don't tell me over here, I'm doing this for money and I have ulterior motives. I have no ulterior motives here. Hashem has plucked me out of the field, told me to do this. He didn't give me a choice. And I'm going to do whatever Hashem tells me to do. And don't go try to, don't harass me.
Okay, one of the things that Rabbi El makes a point of saying when Yosef told about his brothers, is my family are not here to go to welfare. We have our own money.
We have our own money. Roy Yitzchak, very good. We're not here. We're not coming down to a new country, to take advantage of the system. Maisa Avos, whatever happened to Maisa Avos Simul Labanim? Whatever happened to Maisa Avos Simul Labanim? That's the type of shot. What? I remember so clearly. My father was arguing. My grandfather was in a different generation. My father's father, and it was towards the end of his life when he used to go on Shabbos. He couldn't get out of the house early. My grandmother was very sick then. And I remember that my grandfather, he sat for so many years with Moshe Scherer. They sat in Borough Park, in the Agud, the old Agud. They sat at the same table, and they sat together. Rabbi Elberg, Rabbi Scherer, my grandfather, and then there was another person. He was just Nifter very recently, a month ago. I don't remember his name. Rabbi Soloveitchik's father-in-law, this Soloveitchik over here, Simcha Soloveitchik. His father-in-law used to live in Borough Park. He was, I think, 102 years old. What was 100? Either he was over 100 years old. He was nifter like a month ago. He moved to Eretz Yisrael at the end of his life. The last couple of years living in Eretz Yisrael, He was over 100 years old, and he sat also on that table. So my father was very close to Rabbi Sharon. He used to always talk and talk. So he always knew the inside of the Aguda. And then at the end of his life, I remember my father was very excited about the voucher program for education, which the Aguda is chalishing. They've done this already now in Cleveland.
In several states.
Cleveland, they've done this.
There are several states that they've...
But the Jewish community have taken a lot of people, a lot of from people...
Usually red states go
a lot of people have moved to Cleveland from people because there, and one of the biggest problems is tuition. Mm-hmm. Tuition eats up your entire salary to pay tuition, Jewish education. So in Cleveland, they have a voucher system where they give every single citizen in the state, they give them a voucher, mm-hmm. and you choose any school you want. Public school, private school, and basically, it's a windfall. It's a windfall, and it's people who have struggled to make parnasa. This is a very, very, very powerful incentive for them to move to these communities where for the tuition is almost nothing.
The houses are very cheap.
That also. So you have a double whammy. Cost of you can buy a house for very little.
Though.
What?
Kosher food, meat is very expensive.
Meat is expensive, so you go on a diet. Too much meat is not good.
They have similar things in Florida,
so
Indiana.
In New York, so the Aguda, where do all the Jews live? The vast majority live in the metropolitan area, New York, New Jersey, and it ain't happening. It ain't happening, okay? The voucher system is not happening, and Aguda, they're chalishing, will be the biggest miracle if they can get there. So this whole idea first came about, so I remember I was a little kid then, came about probably like 20, 30 years ago. When it came about, and my father, I remember my father was so excited about it. My father must have spoke about it in shul. And then we came, went to visit my grandparents. My father told my grandfather about the voucher system. And my grandfather, I remember, so he was very, very against it. He said, no, from a different generation, no, it's a horrible thing. Once you start taking money from the government for education, you become dependent upon them, and the day is going to come when they're not going to want to give the same amount of money, and then you're going to be
they're going to give the money and then try to take over, like now. Then also they're going to
have demands, whatever the demands are, and like my father says, no, we need the money, and my grandfather says it's a horrible thing, and better people should struggle. This yeshiva should struggle and to be 100% independent of the government and Jewish education, then become 100% dependent upon the state and city for education. It's just a recipe for disaster. So Ramayevsky over here said, when Yaakov, they came down with a royal sign, we're independently wealthy, we have our own means of support, we're not coming over here to go and to live off fat of the land. What? Tzoyin. Everyone was only Tzoyin. All were Roye Tzoyin. Roye Tzoyin. So you see over here, you're saying a very interesting idea, but today that's not the thought. Today the attitude without question is if the government will give you money, take it. Take it. And in fact, the schools can't survive. They had an article, and this whole thing over here, I'm not going to go and tell you my opinion, but they had an article.
Everything you say is your opinion. You have to
read it. It's true, but they right away an expose. It was in one of the major papers that the yeshivas in New York received from the government a year over $100 million.
That was fake news.
That was fake news.
Absolutely.
They don't receive over $100 million.
No, it is. But they say
$100 million. Why? That's not so much money today. That's not so much money today. $100 million.
They have book laws. They get all their books from the government.
They get money for the books, and they get money for food, and they get money for buses. And the Pell Grants. How much money the Pell Grants are? It's enormous.
But the Pell Grants are only
Shiv Gedola. Yeshiva Gedola. No, Pell Grants are post high school, high school, and then there's so many different funds and grants that are all straight out of Uncle Sam's pockets. And this article, I can show you the article. This article, I think it was one of the major papers. They made a cheshbon that the yeshivas get over $100 million. And we want more. More. No one's satisfied. We're not satisfied. And that's the problem.
If you live in Teaneck, you pay real estate tax that covers...
Off the roof.
That covers
yeah.
busing, school busing.
Uh-huh, yeah.
If you live in Bergenfield...
You don't get it.
You don't get the busing, so people that buy the house is cheaper. Then it comes, the kids are going to school, they have to pay for...
Lakewood, a year ago, that's one of the biggest problems, is they cut the funding for the buses. And it's just impossible. Everyone there just can barely survive as it is. And besides the parking, the traffic. I mean, you go every carpools and the traffic there is also the infrastructure there is broke. And how much money is there already? You know, the government they borrowed against themselves. They had not guessing the news. Another $1 trillion. You know, and the government borrowed against itself. I mean, the deficit is just in Lashar. What does that mean?
No, that's the
federal. What does that mean? What does that mean for the future of the country? No one knows. I once asked my father this. How does my father? My father says. My father says it's no big deal. What happens is they just forgive themselves. It comes a point with the Michael themselves, the money. What does that mean exactly? I don't know anything about economics.
It's still not a good policy.
It's not good. Inflation.
You spend more than you're making.
It's a horrible thing. Inflation. No one really knows the effects of how this bubble can one day rachmana litzlan. What could happen? No one knows how these things work. It's beyond the comprehension of man how this world goes on, how this world continues to exist. We have to just be lada siyata d'shmaya to get through the day. Who knows? No one knows. No, who says someone has to pay for this? My father told me. My father says he says you don't have no economics. Who says someone has to pay for it? He says you borrow against yourself, and
they keep on raising the ceiling.
What?
Usually, a credit card.
How does that work?
Max. You reach your max, and you have to pay up.
I don't think that economics. You have to go take a course in economics, understand all these principles. I have no idea. To me, it's pretty scary. That's all I can tell you.
We could use a lecture by your father.
We sure could. That's right. I don't know who knows what's going to be. Okay, let's just hope we have to siyata d'shmaya. Let's go further. So the ata, so we hear he winds down over here. Vayom elai lechi navi. Okay, we're on engaged page 353. The mincha gedola on the right side, four lines from the bottom. Vayom elai Hashem. Vayom elai Hashem lechi navi. V'im kein emor ki Hashem emor. Ki Hashem li mimi iro. That's a play from Yigdal. What does it say in Yigdal? Does it say Yigdal? Ki Hashem li mimi iro.
No, that's Ladovich.
And David, what does it say there again? Okay. I don't know. Hashem li. Hashem. What does it say? V'lo yira. So here it's a play on the words. Ki Hashem li mimi yira. From whom should I fear other than Hashem? Rhetorical question. V'lo yale al ruchacha shani b'fi b'daber achm. Don't think that I'm a charlatan. Achmoira yesh b'libi v'ira minavei po. Okay, there's I have Moira Belibi, Voira Minovia, Oshema Machmas Pacha, Libi Loytoch, Ruch Nabua, Kine, Aviata, Shmad Vashem, Asher, His Nabesi, Lanishra, Aldvorecha. Don't go try to threaten me. Who are you trying to threaten over here? I'm the real deal, you're the faker. And therefore, let me tell you what Hashem says about your future. You're done, you're finished. You're very influential. You are causing people to worship idols. Worshipping of an idol is considered in the eyes of Chazal Znus. Klal Yisrael is married to Hashem. Okay, Chosin, that's the Moshel, Chosin Kal, all the Minhagim of Chasna, many of the Minhagim that we do by a wedding are taken from Matan Torah. Matan Torah was viewed in the eyes of Chazal as a wedding. The grand wedding between Hashem, who is the Chosan, and Klal Yisrael is the Kala. And that's why that's a mitzvah. That's in the mitzvah tans. a mitzvah tanz by Hasidim. So litvax, it's considered to be mixed dancing. It's the worst of the worst. A mitzvah tanz, mamash, scandalous. Have a mitzvah tanz. What kind of business have a mitzvah tanz? A mitzvah tanz, everyone, you go dance with a kala? What kind of nonsense is this? What kind of nonsense? Total nonsense. What? And today, you know what's so sad today is today used to be, whoever heard of mitzvah tanz, or chassidim, yeah, it's mamash, they do 3 o'clock in the morning. You know what the problem is today? Go on YouTube and just type in mitzvah tanz, and you can sit for weeks and watch mitzvah tanzes. From every yukkel in the world, you'll find from every Rebbe, and every Tom, Dick, and Harry puts up the mitzvah tanz on YouTube. I don't know why they would want to do that. Crazy people put up the mitzvah tanz. And you know, it's mamish mixed dancing. Go on YouTube, just type in mitzvah tanz. Go see how many videos. So mitzvah tanz used to be a davar shebitzina. You didn't even know. I didn't even know there was a mitzvah tanz until much later in life. I never heard of this thing called a mitzvah tanz. What do I know about chassidim, mitzvah tanz? Whoever heard of this? Whoever heard of a mitzvah tanz? So today, who has not heard of a mitzvah tanz? And what is a mitzvah tanz? In essence, it's mixed dancing. That's really what it is. Why is it not called mixed dancing? It's mixed dancing. And it's not a very nice type of mixed dancing either. So chassidim, they do it only. Holy chassidim, they do it mamish for mamish yechidim. Yechidim of the family, 3 o'clock in the morning, there's no one there, everyone already left, the photographer left, everyone left, there's a dover, and what is it? By big rabbis, every marriage is a dogma of the chasana, the marriage of Klal Yisrael with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you use a wedding as a dogma to relate. It's a very holy thing. You got to be in a very big madrega to look at everything in life as a dogma for something very spiritual. You have a chosin and a kala. The chosin represents Hashem. The kala represents Ribbono Shel Olam. There's simcha, there's joy. Channel that joy and simcha to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Right? That's only for people on a madrega that appreciate what it's all about. But the average guy is just pure mixed dancing. And it opens up your mind to think certain thoughts that are not, is the girl pretty? Is she not pretty? Is she this? Is she that? This and that. It's not. This is not for the average guy. And al achas kama, what's become today is people they take out their smartphones. But Kate Samarak,
he said he danced with the kala on the
right.
Shoulder.
Yeah, that was the time of the Gemara. The Gemara actually says, how do you want to do this? You put the kala,
right.
A child bride. The answer basically, you see, if the girl is 13 years old, and you think a 13-year-old girl on your shoulders.
She's not a child.
No, she's not a child. They used to get married then when they were 13, 14, 15 years old. It's not a child, okay? It's not a child. All right, you know, like you go to a wedding, you see a child bride. A cute little kids getting married. You have a guy who's 80 years old. Listen, so he puts the girl on his shoulders. Listen, it's not mutter, you know? An 80-year-old guy can do... We know what an 80-year-old guy can do. No joking around. We know what they're capable of, what could happen. But you know, okay, so you get a little bit, okay, a Talmud Chacham, he's a Kaddush, a Tar, L'Shem Shemayim. You know, there's something to work with. Okay, you understand. But today, no one's getting married when they're 13 years old. Today you're getting married when you're at least 20 years old. It's a whole different type of thing. And you see, it's interesting that the Litvaks, you got to give them credit, Rabbi Isai, the Litvaks, they, you know, Ezer Chacham, Haroya Es Hanoilat. When the Litvaks, you know, you got to see where things are going. It's a very nice thing to have a mitzvah tanz, but you know, you look at our generation. It really, really has got out of hand. There's nothing to talk about.
There was a minhag. You made a donation to tens of the cows.
Yeah, they still
and the money would go
to support them.
To them if they are
poor.
If they are better off, they would collect for someone else.
For someone else, have the zechus to dance with the chas mekal. Okay, listen, it's a very beautiful thing. You watch some of the nicer weddings. I'm shocked they even have some of the big rebbes, the choshva rebbes. The mamish, you see, that it's an avoida. It's like davening in the ila. It's like you look at them, the mamish davening the ila on Yom Kippurim, how they go. They don't look at the kala. Their eyes are closed. The kala, some of them, they put over the shmata of the kala. Some of them, you can't see anything anyway. and they hold gartel and they're dancing. No, very nice. But you know, not everyone is in that madrega. Not everyone is that madrega. And unfortunately... What? They have 30 years, whatever. But over here, this one big this point we learned is that over here he's telling him this in the list of the milchud that we learned so many times is that you amatzia, you are the koyein gadol in the church. What are you doing in essence? If Klal Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the dogma of a chosin mekala, if you are now worshiping an idol, you're teaching Klal Yisrael to commit adultery. We are married. We are the Kala, we are married to Hashem, and by worshipping an idol, we're committing adultery. And you're leading us, you're the leader. You're the Kohen Gadol in the church. Nida keneged nida. How are you going to feel when your wife lives with the next door neighbor right in front of your face? How are you going to feel? It's nida keneged nida. You don't care about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's honor, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels that you're leading Klal Yisrael astray to worship idols? Let's see how you'll feel when your wife goes and commits adultery right in front of your face. That's number one. Ishtecha bu'irtis nevyal asher bikashel b'ha l'shonoskel l'hapilein b'acharef. You want to go cause me to die? What are you going to tell? You're telling Yeravam that Yeravam should sign the order. Just sign here and I'll have him gone in 5 minutes. The execution order? You know what? Neither can I get neither your children. Let's see how you feel when your children are killed right in front of your eyes. Bonecha uvnoisecha ba'cherev yipolu. You'll see what it's like to go have someone killed. V'alasherat sisale havricheni milishlichasile eretz Yehuda. You're telling me to get out of here, get out of the country. You know what? That's where you're going to go. You're going to have to leave the country, and all of your followers are going to leave the country. Admoscha ba'cherev tehulak. You will be divided by strangers because you're not going to be here. Someone's going to take over your property. You want to prevent me from saying nevuah. Therefore, you're going to die. He's saying something that is unique. The Mincha Gedol over here is saying something a little bit different. That we don't have anyone else say this idea. And he's saying there's a midah keneged midah to die. This is a very, very interesting idea. Opens up a whole new world here, what he says here. That the midah keneged midah of not allowing me to say my prophecy is you should die al admas nechor. You shall die on a land that's temeah. Now, what does that mean exactly? So if you want to draw from other ideas that we come across every so often, when a person dies, you hear a lot about this by Gedolei Yisrael, maybe not so much today, but in previous generations. When a person dies, he says a lot of strange things. And many will tell you that there's when their time to die comes, they're already in another world. And they're like a prophet. And you had this by the Chofetz Chaim, people would come and ask him questions, and he would say these really bizarre things, and he would see things. I even know someone recently, someone died very young, so it's a very bizarre thing. Someone died very recently in Lakewood, and the tkufa when he was very, very sick, and like right before he died, like he was unconscious, and then all of a sudden he woke up just for a short time, and the family started talking to him, and you know he was reviewing the matzah, what he's going, and he started talking about people that he never spoke about. He never mentioned these people's names in his whole life, and he said he can't help me. He said that he can't help me. And he said this, and he said all these strange things. And the family was so spooked out. And no one knows, okay, you can't say, oh, so it was a Navi. No one knows. But it was so spooky, it's like the impression is like this person, he's dying. He's going up and down between Shemaim and this world.
He's got one foot in there.
And he's the impression was like, and he was trying to beg the people in Shemaim to summons his rebellion and people that made him who he was to help him to come and be mevakish, that to let him stay in this world a little bit longer. And like he said, like, I went to my rabbi. Basically, what he was saying was, the way the family interpreted, no one knows that he was just hallucinating. He's hallucinating. No, I'm not. Maybe he is. I'm not saying, no one ever, you know, but it was still spooky. Nevertheless, he never spoke about these things before. Basically, he went to his rabbi, the one that he really held to be his main rabbi, who made him who he was, had the greatest. And he said, can you help me? And he says, I can't. I can't help you. I just can't help you. It's nothing I can do. The gezeira is a gezeira. I can't help you. And this is not unique, the story I'm telling you. You hear this about a lot of different types of people, these type of stories. Certainly years ago, it appears when a person dies, there is some connection to the next world which enables them to give over prophecy, to give over words. You prevent, now obviously if you live in Eretz Yisrael, you live in the makam of Hashroas Hashchina, your ability to do this is that much greater. You're living in the Holy Land. Amos is saying to Amatzia, you have prevented me, I'm giving you my spin on this, you have prevented me from giving over prophecy. Mida keneged mida, the small degree, everybody say, the small degree of prophecy that every person is entitled to. When is a person entitled to prophecy? Every person. Every simple guy is entitled to prophecy when he dies. The moment when a person dies, this is what it says in the books, when a person leaves this world, those last few moments, he has one foot there, one foot here, and there's a certain ability to communicate, to take a message from that world, and for it to come out of your mouth in this world.
That's what the Malbim says, as you know, Shmai Vadavera, he says, Shmai Aretz and Reifi, he was up there.
There's only one foot up there, one foot down, you're able to transfer.
He opposes it with Yeshaya, who said, Shemi Shmai Vazini Aretz, he was here.
That's why there's such a very beginning of being present at the time of Yetzias Neshama. Okay, we have a tradition that if a person knows that someone is leaving this world, there's a very big inyan to be present at the moment of Yetzias Neshama. Why? So there are many different Kabbalistic reasons, but one of the reasons is because that moment of Yetzias Neshama, there's an opening. There's a channel that is open between this, the upper world, and this world. The human being that's now leaving, he becomes a prophet. He becomes a chayzer. There is this opening that happens for a few moments. The last few moments of a person's life. You read all the gedolei, people always want to know. I always found it very bizarre until I learned about these things. What are people so obsessed in knowing? What was the last moments of the guy's life? What did he say? What was his last words? What did Rav Moshe say? What was Rav Moshe's last words? I have no koyach. I know, remember someone says, I say it every day. I say that every day. Every few minutes I say those words.
Communication channels are both ways? It's usually one way.
Whatever it is, there is a channel that is open in the very last moment of a person's life, even the average person.
Yeah.
There's an open channel. And therefore, to be at that, be there at that moment, you have a connection. You are in the presence of this channel. You have a connection. That connection can have an effect on you. Can have an effect on you for good. You can something can be accomplished. That's a form of prophecy. The Mincha Gedol appears to be saying that there are different levels of having this connection. You could have it in Chutz Li'aretz, or you could have it in Eretz Yisrael. There are many people that are very, a lot of young and learning about the Gemara that it's kedai to die in Eretz Yisrael, right? Even though now to die in Chutz Li'aretz and to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, that's a whole shaila. Are you allowed to do that? Are you allowed to be buried in Eretz Yisrael if you have nothing? The Yerushalmi says Rapam was very makban. Rapam would tell people that's not so posh according to halacha that you're allowed to be buried if you live in Chutz Li'aretz. The Yerushalmi says, what right do you have to contaminate the land?
Right, a dead body is
Navi Avoy Satoma. You didn't give even $1 to the UJA. What right do you have to come and bring your dead body and put it in Eretz Yisrael and contaminate the land? You have nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael. Yerushalmi says you have no right to come contaminate the land. If you live in Eretz Yisrael, you support Eretz Yisrael, your children live in Eretz Yisrael, okay, that's a different story. But if you don't support, you're critical Eretz Yisrael, you don't support Eretz Yisrael, and your children don't live in Eretz Yisrael, and you don't live there, and now a person dies and he wants now to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, you don't have a right to do that. It's Yerushalmi. So that's one. But then there's another inyan of to die in Eretz Yisrael. Why would a person want to die? A person's getting old, and he realizes his time is limited, so he moves the last tikkuf of his life so he can die in Eretz Yisrael. Why would he want to do that? So there are many different Kabbalistic inyanim, but one that maybe you can even sense is because when a person dies, that last few moments, if he's awake, he's conscious, no one knows how these things work, obviously they're difficult in different situations, a person, there's an open channel. And if you're living in Eretz Yisrael, the channel is clear. There is no static if you're living in Eretz Yisrael. If you're living in Chutz Li'aretz, the channel may be open, but there's interference. There's too much static. It's not Admas Kodesh. The Mincha Gedoyla seems to be saying something very profound. You, Amatzia, have prevented me from doing my mission of being a prophet, of opening up that channel in my lifetime when I'm supposed to be a prophet. Therefore, Mida Keneged Mida, you, an ordinary person, you're just a regular Harry, Mr. Amatzia. You're an Ovid of the Zara. You're a Kohen Gadol. But you also, when you die, when your time to comes to die, so every person is entitled. There's an entitlement of a little channel of Nevuah, the last few moments of your life. If you would live out your days here in Eretz Yisrael, that channel would be enhanced because there would be no static, no interference. But because you have denied me the opportunity to say Nevuah, Mida Keneged Mida, when you die, you're going to die in Chutz Li'aretz. And you're going to be denied that clear channel that you ordinarily would have had. That moment is a moment of Nevuah. This is what he's saying over here. We'll finish up the Nevuah. You'll die all of them. This that you said in my name that the Jewish people will go into exile. I never said it, but unfortunately now I am going to say it. Your lies, the chickens are going to come home to roost. The Jewish people indeed will go into exile. So Rabbi Yisai, congratulate ourselves. We have finished this little section. It's an incredible story. So many Yisoidais. Baruch Hashem, we zeicha. Tomorrow we start Perek Ches. Today is your site? Wow. Who's that?
He came to America in 1890. He was a temporary rabbi.
Which was
pickled again? Then he moved back to Italy.
Was he related to Rav Aaron Kotler?
Doesn't sound like. Could be, I don't know. Then he went to Israel in 1920.